God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Welcome, everybody, to our Bible study today. This is Bishop Herbert Clark. We're dealing with the book of Revelation. We left off after we completed Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. We were talking about the fourth seal. We wanted to take up with the fifth seal. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? This is an interesting beginning because it talks about those who have been martyred for the cause of Christ. And it also has a parallel to a scene that we had earlier in the Bible where God tells Cain that the blood of his brother Abel cries out to the Lord. And here we have these martyrs saying our blood is crying out for God's judgment, for his vengeance, his avenging of their being killed innocently based upon their refusal to release the word and release the testimony of Jesus Christ that they hail. I wanted to stop there because as we move forward, in this seal, there's going to be some important things we want to highlight. Verse 11, and white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So here we have prophetically these martyrs asking for vengeance, and God is saying to them, we can't do it yet because there are more to be martyred. There are more to be martyred. You have to wait until everybody else has gone through and it has all been fulfilled before God does the judgment on the wicked or the avenging of that innocent blood. Verse 12. And I behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as the fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captain and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain, said unto the mountains and rocks, fall upon us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The sixth sign is clearly a indication of the return of Christ. There's a song they used to sing. They said, I run to the hills to hide my face, the hills cry out, no hiding place. speaking about how terrible the majesty of God will appear to the wicked. To us who are being redeemed from the earth, it will be our great welcoming to see God in all of his glory. But for those who have denied and rejected and blasphemed and accused God falsely, this is the biggest coming doom that they could imagine. And this completes our sixth seal. And then the book of Revelation does something that is really unexpected. Instead of going directly into the seventh seal, it has a whole chapter talking about those who are redeemed from the earth. It talks about that from each tribe of Israel, there will be 12,000 taken from each tribe. When you add 12,000 times 12, you come to the number 144,000, which should put forever a rest to the notion that the 144,000 that are the redeemed, the remnant, are anything but the children of Israel. It should finally put that to a rest. I don't know how it became a conflict. There's so many churches that are out today of different denominations that are all claiming to be the remnant, to be the 144,000. Well, no, actually the 144,000 are of the tribe of Israel. It's earmarked in this chapter. It listed really clearly that from each tribe, God selects 12,000 people to be redeemed from each tribe, and list the tribes by name. I'm not going to read it for you, but you can go ahead and read that portion. Now, after they have listed the 144,000, we come to verse 9. And verse 9 says, and after this, after the 12,000 were taken from each tribe, which equal 144,000, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. Palms, palm branches, echoing when Christ entered into Jerusalem on the earth. Type and shadow are an example of something that's going to echo in heaven, Christ entering in for his coronation as the ruler and majesty upon high. We are again waving palm branches as a symbol of the coming of the new king. Verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Verse 11, and all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. So let's count that. You know how I like to count them. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might. 7. Again, God is worthy of complete worship. Worship in all of his purity. Worship in all of its holiness. Worship in all of its wisdom and all of its blessing and all of its glory and all of its thanksgiving and all of its honor, all of its power, all of its might. God is worthy of complete worship as being almighty, unending creator God of all things. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes and whence cometh thee them? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 15, Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. All right, so there's a reference to who that great multitude in verse 9 is. It's those who've gone through great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, which speaks to the fact that they have kept the faith of Jesus Christ and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. They have hidden it in their heart. Amen. This is echoing of the fact that we will be priests and a holy nation, which is mentioned in the book of Hebrews. I have made you priests and a holy nation. Amen. Verse 16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All right, so verse 16 begins, and they shall hunger no more or thirst any more. The Bible says, He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. So here is the fulfillment of that statement that Christ made in the Beatitudes. We have to understand, everybody who comes to heaven will be a fulfillment of the Beatitudes, of those blessed are they that are found in Matthew, I believe, chapter 5 or 6. We will have those attributes. We talked about the seven spirits of God and the attributes that they possess, and the attributes they are also developing in the children of God. And so they're going to be expressed in these people who have been redeemed from the earth, this great multitude that no man can number. So here we have the return of Christ. Here we have the great number of those who are redeemed from the earth. And then we have chapter 8. And chapter 8, verse 1 says, And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seventh angel, which stood before God, and to them was given seven trumpets. All right. Now, right here, I want to stop. I want to stop because as we're going to move forward, we need to clarify whether we believe or should believe or how we should stand on a particular issue. There are churches that teach that the children of God will be raptured away from the earth before the time of trouble begins. Now, if that is true, we could skip from chapter 8, verse 2, all the way to chapter 19, verse 1, because the rest of Revelation in between there is a redefining, re-clarification of what happens when the seven seals are open. But I don't believe that God gave us 10 more chapters in Revelation, and it has no bearing on those of us who are going to be redeemed from the earth. I believe that we're going to have to endure a time of trouble, as Jesus said, that there shall be gnashing of teeth. There should be great trouble, that people will pray for death and it will not be given. However, if you believe that the church is going to be raptured, you can go ahead and wait till I get to chapter 19 and we can take it up again. I'm saying it facetiously, but I'm saying it because it is clear, as we read through the seven seals that are open, that the time of trouble begins with the breaking of the first seal. Then we have the four horsemen of the apocalypse. All of that is during the time of troubles. We've already seen that. What's going to go on as we move forward is a reclarification or revealing in more detail of those things that are going to be happening during the breaking of those seven seals. And even as we move into the seven trumpets, and then we'll have the seven vials, it is just reconfirming the intensity that we will be having to endure during that period of the time of trouble. And many will be martyred. Listen, many will be martyred. I don't know if I will. I don't know if the people listening to this will. But many will be martyred. Remember, we just read in the opening of the sixth seal. Of the fifth seal, how those had already been martyred, like, Lord, when are you going to avenge us? And he said, we can't yet. There's more to be martyred. Well, that's speaking about those who died during the time of trouble. Now, at the time of John, there were very few that were martyred for the cause of Christ. Right? The major persecution of Christians had just begun. In fact, it will continue from that point forward, really until Constantine, ruler Constantine in 335 A.D., becomes a Christian. And then the killing campaign switches from killing Christians to killing Jews, which is a nice historical lesson that if you wanted to study the martyrism of the faithful, you'll see that switch. When the Christians come into power, those who are in power switch the script. And instead of throwing Christians to the lions, they start throwing Jews to the lions. And that's also when the day of worship begins to be shifted from Sabbath into Sunday. Another beautiful study. And listen, I'm not necessarily preaching Sabbath observance, but these are historical facts. You can study it out. You don't even have to study it out in a Jewish book or a church that believes in keeping the Sabbath. This is every library on the planet. You can go and research Constantine and the different councils of Trent and things of that nature that happened at 435 and then later. His son did the same thing at 435 A.D., and you can study that all out. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. I'm not going to do that. It's not in our text, so we're not going to go any further in that. But we need to understand that right now, if you believe that the church is not going to have to endure any trouble, if they're going to be whisked away before the time of trouble, then our study of Revelation is essentially over, because 19 is after the destruction of Babylon, which is a representation of the evil system that has been put in place. And 19 begins with us seeing the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven and resting upon the ashes of the wicked, which is an interesting point that we'll get to if we go deeper into chapter 8 And I'll do a little bit of chapter 8 today since I have some time. And I just wanted to put that on your mind as we're moving forward. So as we move forward, there's going to be a circulative revelation of the events that are taking place as the seals are opening. All right, so our timeline is constantly redefining those elements and making them even more clear as we move forward. All right, chapter 8, verse 3. Another angel came down and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thundering and lightning and earthquakes. And the seventh angel, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail mingled with blood. And there were cast unto the earth, and a third part of the trees were burnt up, and all of the green grass was burnt up. Verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and it was a great mountain burning with fire and cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the sea creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. All right, so what we're having here, the seven trumpets, is a description of a third of everything that existing on the earth is being destroyed, which takes us back into our seals. When the first and second seal are open, there begins to be destruction. Then when the four horsemen begin to appear, they bring pestilence and destruction of food. People are hungry, there's sickness. And so this is redefining exactly what's going on in the third part of the resources of earth, from people to plants to fish in the sea are being destroyed. The drinking water is turning to blood, and on and on and on. And as you study and read, you will see all of that in here in text, verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the water because they were made bitter. Verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And so what we have is the destruction affects even the time of daylight and evening, the time for working and rest, the time for sowing and reaping. You have to understand symbolically, when you affect the heavens and the sun and the tidal pools of the moon, you're affecting harvest time. you're affecting the time to sow, you're affecting the time to harvest. And so it has a connection to our ability to grow food and reproduce food and be able to feed ourselves. And that's going to affect the commerce as well. And we talked about when he said some wheat was worth a penny and some barley is worth a penny. It's going to affect that commerce. Things will become more expensive as we move forward. Verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth for reason of the other voices and of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So as bad as these first four were, the next three are even worse, right? They had to, God had to stop and say, look, declare woe, woe, woe. Declare woe is me. Declare tragedy, horror is about to befall because of the last three angels. Wishful sound. We have a few minutes, so I'm going to go into the fifth angel a little bit. I don't know if I'll be able to get all the way through it. No, let's give it a whirl. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Uh-oh. And he opened the bottomless pit. There arose a smoke out of it, out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Huge billows of smoke. In fact, we had a glimpse of this in the 1900s or the late 1800s. There was a huge fire in Europe. And it raged for so many days that it literally blackened out the sun for days. No one could see sunlight because of the great smoke that arose. And some people have pointed to this text. Of course, we're always, you know, wicked generation is always looking for a sign. So anything that happens, we always say, oh, this is it. So I just wanted to share that story. You can also look that up too, the darkest day. And things of that nature. Verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts unto the earth, and unto them was given power as a scorpion of the earth has power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green things, neither the trees, but only those men which have the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not die, not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as if torment of a scorpion, which he did to men. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. All right, we're going to stop right there. We'll take it back up from Revelation chapter 7. I hope this has been a blessing. Continue to do your reading, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.